Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Diane, and you're watching everyone online. You're watching Ar Yehuda Messianic Jewish Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And we welcome you. We have some special guests today. We have Ted Pierce is our musical guest and worship leader today. So we'll be enjoying some music later on, so stick around. And for the Anthony will be giving us the drash, this Anthony Cody. And for the sermon, I believe it is our dear rabbi on video. So stick around for that as well. And we would like, and Shabbat Shalom, we would like, if everyone could bow their heads, we'll just pray a little bit here before we get started. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father God, we just come before you today for our Shabbat, and we just thank you, Lord, for us to still continue to gather together during unprecedented times. None of us have gotten COVID, and we thank you for that, Father God. So we just thank you for a wonderful worship is going to be coming. We can just feel your presence just going to be coming in here today, and I already just feel your presence right now. Bless each and every one of us that's watching, and bless each and every one of us that is here in person. We just thank you and lift everyone up today and lift up the service. We lift up the media. We just lift up everything that just to pull it together, because we all come for one purpose, and it's to worship you, Father God. We just worship your Son, Yeshua, and we just thank you, and we just lift up our dear rabbi who is on respite, and we love him dearly, and Rabitz and Don and Isaac and Joshua. We just special prayers out to those two boys of need, the whole family, the Bell family. We just love you dearly, and in Yeshua's name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Today's lucky recipient gets a gallon of oil poured over their head. It's anointing day. Next week will be foot washing. It's called Bible Active Live. All right. What are we doing here? Are we on? Yeah? Oh, my goodness. Hey, howdy, everybody. That's Jewish for shalom. This is Rabbi Joe, and I want to welcome everybody. Welcome everybody in the house. Shabbat shalom. Come on, you need to do better than that. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Amen. Amen. Sound like the 12 people you are.
Hallelujah.
Okay, and Shabbat shalom, friends on live stream. Rabbi Joe, this is for Zion's Sake Ministries. This is the lovely Dawn, Rebbitz and Dawn. And this is lovely Carolyn Chapman joining us up here today, singing with us, and we're going to get underway right now. So, Miss Dawn, you going to lead us?
I am. Here we go. Let's welcome to Shabbat. Put your hands together. Let's rejoice in Him. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom,
Shabbat shalom,
hey.
Shabbat shalom. goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world.
Clear the way for the people.
Build up the highway. Remove the stones, lift up the standard. Behold, salvation comes.
For Zion's sake, I will
not keep silent, Jerusalem. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world.
La 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 la. Nations will see your righteousness. The kings will see your glory.
Very angelic and just like a glorious ending. Messiah Yeshua. And he's holding a torch.
Yes.
Amen. For us to a beacon of light.
Yes.
He's holding a beacon of light. His truth. Rabbi's going to talk about his truth today. So praise the Lord. What is truth? Let's bless the Messiah who gives us truth. Amen. He is the God of truth.
Amen.
We have a standard. We have guidance. We know what's going to bring us success and blessing and goodness. It's his truth. It's not to beat us over the head and be mean and stuff like that. God's truth is there to help us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's bless him for his truth. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in our great Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
And how lovely it is to come into his tents, to his courts, and to his house. This is the house of the Lord. And it's goodly. This place is good. Say it's good.
It's good.
Hallelujah. Jacob's tent is good, and God brings blessing in the tent of Jacob. Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker, As for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Amen.
Amen. Vishamru, page 45 in your prayer books. You'd like to read it with me? I guess we're having some trouble with the screen or the projection. Okay. But not for long. Amen. All right, page 45. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. B'nei v'nei b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael odhi le'olam. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim ve'aretz. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Yom ha-shavi, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from all to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem.
Bow our heads and our hearts. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Your word says in Psalm 122, 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. And we just pray, Lord, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray, Lord. We know that that word means the peace of the Messiah in one heart at a time, Lord. That when every heart is filled with the peace of Messiah, there will be peace in Jerusalem, Lord, in your holy city. Bloodshed will cease. Swords will be beaten into plowshares. Nation will no longer rise up against nation. But it'll be the time of the Messiah. And people will no longer say, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know you. And we just thank you, Lord, for that day that you bring it. Remove the scales from the eyes of your people, Israel, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, from the lowliest street sweeper and waiter and busboy to the generals in the military and the IDF and the cabinet, the Knesset members and the cabinet members and the prime minister. We pray, Lord, for their salvation, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes, that they would see their Messiah, they would know when they're being deceived, and that they would understand it, Lord, that when they're being used, when they're being played, and that they would come to their knees. We know a day will come when Israel is in distress, and when they will turn to you. The Bible in Zechariah 12:14 says, "And you will return." Daniel 7 says, "You will come in the clouds with your holy ones. You will come and you will save Israel. They will see you coming in the clouds, and they will look upon you whom they've pierced as a father mourns an only son." Hallelujah. And then a fountain will open up and of grace and supplication, and they will mourn for you who they've pierced. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for the Messianic Jews today having services. Pray for their services and the rabbis, that they would preach in boldness and not fear, that they would preach the truth and love and by the Spirit, that they would feed the sheep, Lord. And Lord, I pray that the rabbis that are not teaching truth, that you would remove them. The ones who are teaching false doctrines, and that goes for pastors too, teaching false doctrines and lies, that you would remove them and expose them, remove them, expose their sin. And I pray, Lord, for our executives, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna and bring in the spirit of Eliakim, Lord. Remove the spirit of Shebna from Isaiah 22:22. And bring in the spirit of Eliakim, the spirit of fatherhood, the spirit of humility, the spirit of caring for the sheep, caring for the flock, Lord. We just pray. I pray that you give our executive leaders vision and direction. I pray that they would pray for us, for the rabbis, and the rabbis would pray for the people. And we pray also for the United States, Lord. We pray for our country here. Lord, we just pray that today is the day that the president's fate hangs in the balance. And we just pray, Lord, that justice is done, yes, that your will is done, Lord, that justice is done, and that truth prevails today, Lord, that the truth will prevail, and that we won't see a trial like you had, Lord. But we'll see with the result, although that resulted in our salvation. Hallelujah. We know that the crucifixion of Donald Trump is not going to result in our salvation. So we pray for his that he gets a fair trial and that he gets a just result. Yes. And in the name of Yeshua, we pray that the vote goes according to your will and your wishes, Lord. Have mercy on your people, Lord. Now, cut us some slack, Lord. Have mercy on us. We need a break. cut us a break, Lord. You know, we haven't all been naughty. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you been naughty, Stephen? Nope, Stephen says he hasn't been naughty. So, praise the Lord. Aja, have you been naughty? Nope, Aja wasn't naughty. So thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just bless America, Lord, and save us. Save us. Save our nation, Lord. And I don't know if we can be united, but we can be civil. It's possible that we can have civility. Restore civility to our nation. If not unity, restore civility.
Yes.
Lord, we ask in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Lord. And we just thank you. Thank you for thank you for my wonderful wife and our 24th anniversary this weekend. Hallelujah. I think it's, is it Sunday or Monday?
Happy anniversary.
Sunday.
It's Sunday. Sunday. Is today Valentine's Day?
No, I'm sorry.
No, tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Monday.
It's Monday.
Monday is our anniversary.
Our anniversary. Amen.
But tomorrow, Sunday, is your spiritual.
Tomorrow is my spiritual birthday.
Birthday.
That's right. I'll be 24 years old spiritually. Yeah. That's how I look so young.
Mm-hmm. We go by the spirit, right?
That's right. We go by spiritual years. Uh-huh. So, yes, yeah, tomorrow is 24 years since I received the Lord, and actually 25 years, 25
yes.
years. And then I married Dawn 1 year and a day later from the day I got saved. It was my Valentine present from the Lord, my gift, but the Lord was my Valentine, so I couldn't had to go a day afterward, but... I think Don
couldn't take that place.
I couldn't take that place, but I think Don understands. I mean, plus, it was a Saturday night anyway, so it worked out good. Worked out good. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, thank you all for coming today. And what's next, Miss Don?
The servant of the Lord.
Servant of the Lord.
Servant of the Lord. And now, let's all stand and we'll say this together. Do we have it on the screen? Hallelujah. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Stay standing for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem.
Yevor Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed V'yahavta Et Adonai Elohecha V'chol Levavcha U'v'chol Nafshecha U'v'chol Me'odecha V'hayu Hadivarim Ha'ele Asher Nachim Etzavcha Hayom Al Levavecha V'shinatam Levanecha V'dibarta Baham V'shivtecha B'veitecha U'v'lechtecha V'derech U'v'shachbecha U'v'kumecha U'kashartam Liot Al Yadecha V'hayu L'totafot Bein Einecha U'chetavtam Al Mezuzot Beitecha U'visharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Wow, look at the cat dragged in. Praise the Lord. We'd like to carry the Torah today. First two to raise their hands. Come on. Aja, you want to carry the Torah? You want a guy? You think a guy? Okay. Wendell, you want to carry the Torah? Okay. And Stephen, why don't you come and open the ark? And Josh, why don't you help Wendell? Because he's getting old and he needs help carrying the Torah. Get yourselves ready. You don't have to come up yet if you're not ready. It'll be a minute. Show Stephen what to do with the ark. I appreciate it. He's never done that before. Okay. And the answer to that is Ein Kamocha Ein Lim Adonai Ein Kamasecha Malchucha Malchut Kol Olamim Umimshaltecha Bechol Dor Vador Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Yimloch Le'olam Vaed Adonai Oz Yamo Yitain, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo B'Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Vayhi ben Soharom Vayer Mar Moshe Kurna Adonai Vifutsui Vecha Vienusu Misanecha Mipanecha Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah Udevar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bikdushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Just want to say something quick while they're putting the Torah away. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who builds AM radio stations around the world. He does a lot for, what's that Christian radio network? Trans World Radio. Yeah, Trans World Radio. And, but he does a lot, builds AM radio stations all over the world. But anyway, I was talking to him. He lives up the street from me. And he said, showed me something on his phone. The Israelis have come up with a cure for the COVID-19. Not a vaccine, a cure for the COVID-19 virus. I asked him if it was true. He's a very credible person. Very respected fellow in the community, friend of Franklin Graham, and you know, and I said, Tom, I said, is this really the real deal? You know, and he said, yeah, as far as I know, it is, and we are planning to go to Israel over Passover, and Don and I have purchased tickets. Plane was very empty because there's right now there's a 10-day waiting period to you go in, you have to go to a hotel for 10 days in quarantine, and they bring you meals to your room, I guess, or something, and then you know you quarantine there, and then when after 10 days they test you, and then if you're clear they let you out in the country. So anyway, but if this is for real, then this would be a really marvelous thing if they have truly found a cure. But, we need to pray that for the Lord to show us for wisdom, discernment, if it's true. And I really want to go to Israel. I really feel this is the year to go. And I'd love to go. I really want to go for Passover. I believe it's prophetic. But anyway, okay, let's continue. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruchu et Adonai Hamora.
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Yolam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Yolam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai
Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamin, Ve'natan Lanu Et Torto. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler
of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples
and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. So we're back live, I guess. Well, I'm sort of froze up there, but that's usually the way I am anyway. Trying to think, I guess. Okay, well, we got a little different service today. The Torah in the message will be after the worship service today, and I guess I'll be the one delivering the message today. So I don't think Joe did. I think Diane said something about a message, but I don't think he had time to prepare one. He called me Thursday night, you know, so there we go. Last minute, but I had it ready. So, okay, today we're going, before we get started, Diane's going to bring the announcements. And, of course, after Passover, we begin to do something that I sure like is count the Omer. My wife keeps saying, you have to do that every night. And I said, well, yeah. Every night. So today we're going to count the Omer. It leads us up to what? Shavuot, right? Count the Pentecost. So today, why do we do it? Because God commanded it. That's why we do that. I often read and have heard from the sages that even heaven counts the Omer. So that means how important that it is. So we're going to count. We got one sheaf here because we've come from a week of Passover, so we've had 7 days. So I will count the Omer, and then Diane will come up and give the announcements, correct? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, kesanu benitzvotav v'tzivanu al sefirot hayomer. And today is the 7th day, and that is Hayom Shiva Yashrim Shiyam Shavuot Echad Ola Omer. Today is the 7th day, which is 1 week of counting the Omer. So we'll do that. We got 6 more sheaves back there, so we won't miss a week. Okay, Diane. She's going to give us the announcements.
And Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome. Okay. And one moment here. Okay. As you know, last week I mentioned that we'll be doing Passover celebration here in April, April 25th, I believe. Let me get my notes up here from Rabbi. Yes, Passover will be celebrated here Sunday at 5 p.m. At April 25th. And in accordance with Numbers 9, chapter 9, verse 6 through 9, if you want to turn there with me, I can, those of you watching, and this is the reason why we're doing it on April 25th. So let me get mine up. And this is Numbers 9, chapter 9, verse 6 through 9. But there were certain people who had become unclean because of someone's corpse, so that they could not observe Pesach on that day. So they came before Moshe and Aharon that day and said to him, "We are unclean because of someone's corpse, but why must we be kept from bringing the offering of it for Adonai at the designated time for the people of Israel?" Moshe answered, and he said, "Wait, so that I can hear what Adonai will order concerning you." Adonai said to Moshe, "Tell the people of Israel, if any one of you now or in future generations is unclean because of a corpse, or if he is on a trip abroad, nevertheless he is to observe Pesach." Well, our rabbi is on a trip abroad. He is traveling, and that is the reason. So there's two reasons in that scripture, and it's the latter of the reason why that we're celebrating. But we will observe, continuing with the scripture in verse 11, "But he will observe it in the second month on the 14th day at dusk. They are to eat it with matzah and maror. They are to leave none of it until morning, and they are not to break any of those bones. They are to observe it in according to all the regulations of Pesach." So please keep that marked on your calendar, and we'll be celebrating and more news to come when Rabbi and Ribbitz and Don return. Amen.
Okay, we're going to give you a moment this morning to get ready to take up our tithes and offering. And I'm going to ask David, he's going to come up and bless the offering this morning.
So greatly, this congregation, this people, and many others, including our country. And we have an opportunity now, as David said, he's given us everything and he only asked for 10% back. So we hope to please you with our offering and praise you with our voice. We thank you for everything, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Ted. Thank you. It's always great to have Ted Pierce here, and he, I'm going to let him, I'll let him introduce someone he has with him today that very special. I won't steal the thunder from him. I'll let him introduce her today. And so have you come back up, because we're going to let you go ahead and start. We're going to do worship, and then we will do the table of the Lord, and then I'll bring the message and the Torah, and we'll, and I believe we have Oneg today, I think. I'm not sure. So got Oneg today, so. And we're going to just be sure we want to be able to give Ted a good, him and his family here, a good offering this morning. So just remember and pray about that, that he comes quite often. So he's not a visitor, really. He's just a part of this congregation. He moved closer. He's just over the mountain here. So maybe we can lower the mountain. He maybe can just slide over here sometime and stay. So come right ahead, Ted, and we'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
People, and he will bless the humble with Yeshua. great as well. So we rejoice in his salvation. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him. The temple and the life, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. And he will bless the humble with Yeshua. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Come and praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Come and praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. In the congregation of the righteous. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Father, that you shine light in our path. And we will come and walk in that light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. Come on, lift your voice. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. Holy man is humble, walk to one run low. For the Lord alone will be exalted. That day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is the Lord unto the glory of God. Yeah. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. Behold, our Redeemer lives.
Praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the show. with you this morning. Hallelujah. How about Joe if you're watching? Don't worry about a thing. Very important message before we get started. You may think of putting in always doing what is right. Go to church every day of the week, pray your meetings every night. Without faith, this means nothing. It's a self-righteous sin. Yeshua says that you must be born again. No one gets to heaven just by never doing wrong. And there is no reward because you sing religious songs. The day you lay your life down is the day your life begins. Yeshua says that you must be born again. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Let no man deceive you. We can trust the Lord, my friend. Yeshua says that you must be born again. And Nicodemus says to Jesus, well, hey, Rabbi, I'm confused. How does a grown man go back into the womb? We know you are from God by the miracles you've done. You see that God so loved the world, he sends his son. What is born of the flesh is surely born of the flesh. From wherever his spirit flows, now we can only guess. Those who love the darkness are afraid to leave the night. Those who love the Lord come to the light. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, let no man deceive you. We can trust the Lord, my friend. Yeshua says that you must be born again. The most important question of your life: have you been born again? Now he gives us the power to turn from our own ways. He proved that he is Lord when he rose upon that day. Though he loved the sinner, he had to die for our sin. But because of him, we can be born again. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, let no man deceive you. We can trust the Lord, my friend. Yeshua says that you must be born again. Yeah, Jesus showed us how, and there's no better time than now. Yeshua said that you must be born again. Amen.
Israel, oh, I miss it. Your name, Israel. Shame to say it. Lord, we declare you are Lord and King. I will sing about your beauty.
sing of this. Now let's do it in Hebrew.
Thank you. my God, whom shall I fear? What? Me, worry? Thank you, Father, you have taken care of us for so long, and you're not going to stop now.
Since ancient times until today, your right hand carried us through. When we see the darkness rise, your light comes bursting through. Blessed are you, Lord.
Very pretty. I think she has some more of those out in the... You're going to sell those pictures you've made? Okay. She's got pictures out there that she's made that are, I guess they're laminate or something like that. I'm not sure, but they're very pretty. Very pretty. She adds a lot to his ministry, I think, with the words and the beautiful artwork. Very good. Okay, we're going to serve you this morning for the Shulchan Adonai. And I don't know if everyone has received. I think we're on schedule now, aren't we, Carol? I think we're okay. I did something with the schedule she gave me, sorry. I think it's Shulchan Adonai. So has everyone been served? Okay. Hopefully. We got these little cups. They're a little difficult for me to handle. You have one? Okay, you got one. Okay. Three. Everyone's ready. Yeah, she's got one over there. Okay. I think we're all ready this morning. So it's really with Passover, of course, the message this morning is going to be a little bit about Passover and also Aliyah. I want to speak just a little bit about Aliyah. Tell you what my thoughts are about that. So Yeshua, if everyone's ready, then Yeshua, he took the bread and he blessed it, and he said, you know, this is my body which is broken for you. And if that his body was broken, I don't think we would have received any type of healing or from that, because it had to be broken very badly. So he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body broken for you, and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim, Yumelech haolam, ho ho matzi lekim haaretz, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua is the bread of life. And he took the drink and he said, this represents my blood, which will be shed for you and is for the remission of your sins. And he blessed it. He says, Baruch atah Adonai Elohim, Yumelech haolam, borei pari hagafen, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth and creates the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua is the true vine, and we are his branches. So that's the blessing for this morning, and you can partake.
Chaim, I'm sorry. The Chaim, the life.
We'll be taking the offering up after the message today for Ted and his wife. Your name is Hadassah? Okay. That's a Jewish organization that's around the world. Yeah, I have a friend. She's president of Hadassah in North Carolina, so she thinks she's still serving as president. Yeah, it is. We do a lot of things around the hospitals and things like that. Okay, I think everybody's been served. Sometimes it's a little difficult to get that, get it just right. It took me a while to figure out where the bread was at. I tried to tear it all off. Okay, today's the Torah portion is the conclusion, of course, of the week of Passover, and it's called Kol Homed Pesah. Of course, that's from the book of Exodus, chapter 33. You know, today you know, when you look at the world today, and I want to speak just a moment or two about Aliyah and the things that I see that it is, you know, I think Aliyah ties Passover and the Exodus all together. For me, it's like a, it's sort of a part of it when you think about that, because, you know, after all, Yeshua is coming, and he will reign here for over for 1,000 years. And that will be his reign. It will be here upon the earth. It will not. He will not reign at this particular time in heaven, but he will reign here upon the earth. And I think it tells us, Aliyah, and of course with this time of the year, it tells us a lot about the future. Where are we going to be in the future? Where is God sending us? What's going on in the world today? And it doesn't take long to take a look at the world today, and you can see that this is probably one of the most in my life. It's one of the most destructive times that I've seen in my lifetime, and I've been around for a few years. But how do you cope with it? How do you escape it? How do you get away from all this? I know I was listening to some news the other day, and they were talking about the COVID vaccine, and it's reached their discussions now. It's not into law right now or anything like that. It's just a discussion that very, very possibly, if you are going to have a job and go to your job and work, you're going to have, and other things, you're going to have to show that you have been vaccinated for COVID and taken both the vaccines. You're going to have to prove that. They're talking about doing that now. And I know if they do that where you're working, then probably when you go to the grocery store or other places to shop, they may want to see your, not only your mask, but they want to see, Where's your certification of the fact that you have been inoculated for COVID? It's coming, and I'm pretty sure on our lines and Rebus and Don can tell us about that. I'm sure they're probably checking or making sure people have a mask and have people been inoculated for the COVID. So it's like the government and things in the world. It's sort of like Pharaoh when you look back at the Exodus and the things that were going on in the book of Exodus. You'll see very quickly that this world is getting a lot more like Pharaoh, because the Jewish people were under great persecution, and they were, the more Pharaoh demanded, the more he wanted them to work. You know, and all this time they were working, all these years, they did not receive a salary for that. Their work was free because they were basically in bondage, and that's why I think God, the first mitzvah that he gave the Jewish people was the calendar, so they didn't have a need to know what day of the week it was, and by not having a calendar, they didn't know the moeds. Of course, those were coming, but you know it's a lot to see that they did not get any type of pay enumeration, and they probably did not get enough maybe all the times to eat, but they were given more and more things. The more they complained, the more Pharaoh, you know, would give them to work, and they would have very harsh taskmasters that would forced them to do things that were very for many, many hours. So I think that's one of the things when they left Egypt, they received a wealth that was just their payday, really what they were owed. All those years, they did not receive a salary or any type of enumeration for the work that they did. But what is really Aliyah? I think Aliyah is the escape route that if you're a believer and you want to get away from this world, because we can see very rapidly, you know, the scripture tells us that in the final days, in order to buy or sell, you will have to take a mark of the beast. And I know I've thought many times when I'm looking up in the heavens and looking around, just gazing and wondering, is the Antichrist here? Does he exist upon this world today? It certainly looks like, as things are going along, that we are gradually and progressing quicker than a lot of people maybe thought, because we're getting to that point. You know, that's a thing like the COVID. You've got to have, at some point, you may have to have this letter to carry around, or maybe some type of a little card that says, I've been vaccinated for COVID, and I'm okay, that you may have to have that to buy and sell. It could be another futuristic thing that we can see in the world today, that you can't do certain things without you buy and sell. And God will disown you when you take that mark upon you, because when you take that mark, you're selling out to Satan. That's what it's telling us. You're selling out to Satan, and God does not matter anymore. But those of us that believe there is an escape route. There's a way to escape. Now, I can't tell you today if it's going to be today or tomorrow, 100 years or 1,000 years. That's in God's timeline. Not even Yeshua knows the day that God will call him to go to heaven, go come to the earth and take his people home, because not even the angels or Yeshua knows that appointed time that God has. But when you look at the Aliyah and also the Exodus, you can see very, you know, why did Yeshua have to die the way that he did? Would it have not been an easier way? Could they not have stoned him or drowned him? You know, what was the purpose of the crucifixion? Of course, it's in the book of Isaiah. It means he was going to be cut off. In Hebrew, that means he was going to die a very violent death. That's why he only received the 39 lashes on his body. And you have to remember, and I know I saw a clip of a movie yesterday that they were showing. It was in Hebrew. And not only did he get beat up, whipped up on his back, he was beat on the front too. A lot of times we think it was just on his back, but he was beaten on the front and back, because a lot of these movies now are getting more of the Hebrew stuff in there, and they're getting more realistic about the actual scriptures and actually what happened. So I saw that last night. I don't remember the name of the movie. I think it was on that UP channel, something like that. It's one of these Christian networks, I think, that's on there, because The Chosen, that movie is starting to show last year's clips on that this time. So you know that, so that it was, you know, what was the purpose of, you know, when Yeshua gave his life, it was, you know, it was hatred between the races that we see today. There's a lot of people that are complaining about the races and the differences, and that's one of the things that Yeshua came to absolve, was that, and also to escape the curse. What was the curse? The curse was death. That was the curse of the law, was death. And it's sinners. That was for sinners. He gave his only son for sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save the sinners, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he turned it. They gave it to the Goyims, to be able to be saved and see the works of God. And it was to bring us, his death was to bring us closer to God. That was one of the purposes of his death. And it took away any condemnation. There is now for no condemnation in you that believe and are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And also to reconcile us back to God. You know, we have sin separates you from God. And the only way you can get back to God is through repentance. That's the key word, is repentance. So just bear with me. My voice goes from times, and my mind sort of drifts a little bit. So just bear with me a moment here on this thing. So it does, so all y'all does mean is something that's very important to me personally. You know, it, because I view Israel as home. It's the place that God wants us to be. And that's why we have the term Aliyah. It means to go up or to go. And I think God is calling us every day to be Aliyah. Not a lot of people understand it. Not a lot of people think about what that's really saying to them. But it's making a commitment to God to be where God wants you to be. It's just like when God called Abraham, he said, Lech Lecha. He says, go unto the place that I will show you. And I think today with the Aliyah, that is what God is saying. Go to the place that I'm going to show you. And that place is going to be in Jerusalem. You will avoid the heresies and the persecutions that are coming. And it's great. This will be greater than anything the world has ever seen. It's greater than Holocaust. It's going to be the greatest time that people, that if you live during that time, that you will ever see, that you cannot buy or sell. Well, that basically tells you you're going to starve to death if you can't buy anything and you can't sell any food. That it's going to be very dangerous. I know, I think I mentioned this before, in some of the third world countries, they're giving them genetic treated seeds to grow, but the only thing is the seeds don't reproduce, so you have to go back every year and get new seeds to grow your crops. So that means to me, telling me that the day will come when you will have to pay a price for those, and the more you need, the greater the price is going to be, so you can't grow it yourself, so you're going to have to buy it from whoever is in charge to be able to live and to exist. You know, going to Israel, I think to me, is you don't have any fear, and this man's been here many times, Ted has, to Israel. You know, I don't think you have a fear of danger once you go to Israel. It's, you don't have to worry about the terrorists. For some reason, they just don't seem to be there, even though I know they are. But the Israeli army is pretty visible there. But you don't really, the time I was there, I don't really felt like that I was going to be attacked by a terrorist or had any fear of that. It felt like home to me. It felt like a place of great peace. And I think that's what God is telling us. Aliyah will bring you into the presence of God, and Yeshua will come, and we're going to be kept safe from all the things that are going to go into the world today. So it, to me, Israel and Aliyah is getting to the land of peace, the land of Israel. That's where God's wanting us to be. You can call it a state of mind, but I think if you love God, then you want to be where God is at. And I think God today is calling us not to be tares, but to be wheat, because he's going to separate the tares from the wheat, because the tares grow with the wheat just like it's a real thing, something that you can eat and consume, but the wheat is the real thing. And I think Aliyah is calling us to be the real thing, to step out. It's not going to be easy to step away from this world and go Aliyah to Israel and be totally separated from the world. But I think that's what God is calling us to do today. And just as with the Exodus, you know, not only the Jewish people left the Exodus, a lot of them, sad to say, not all of the Jewish people left Egypt. A lot of them stayed. They all didn't leave. And with them, some of the Gentiles came with them. So it was, the scripture says it was a mixed company. Aliyah is a mixed company also. It's going to be Jews and Gentiles will be going, if you have the faith and want to be away from all the destruction in the world, then Aliyah is the place that you definitely want to go and to be a part of, because God is still on the throne, and he's going to protect us if you go to Aliyah and leave this world today, because it tells us about the future and the fact that, you know, oppression is coming greater and greater as we live. Each day is getting more and more. But back to the Torah portion today, you know, it's about the Exodus and the fact, and Passover. You know, the Passover that they observed was a shadow of the future Passover that was coming, the actual redemptive lamb that was going to come. And so a lot of people, you know, this time of the year, a lot of people look at Easter, but that Easter is only in the scriptures one time. You know, before we had this COVID, you know, there was people there and I could speak with them. Now I have to talk to myself. And, you know, after a while, you know, I sort of doze off a little bit. But I'm not that I'm sleeping on the job, but, I mean, you know, there's nobody to talk to, so you're sort of out by yourself. Before, I could talk with people and ask them. They asked me about Easter, and I say, well, how many times does Easter appear in the Bible? And they're like, well, it's in there. Yeah. Well, it's only one place that it's in. It mentions the book. It mentions Easter's only one time, and that's in the book of Acts, the 12th chapter. And Peter was in Rome to be tried and executed, and they delayed his trial because the Romans were celebrating Easter, not Passover, because that Easter was the pagan holiday, Asherah and all of that was there, and so that was the feast of Easter for them, and that's why Peter was kept in jail and not tried, because they were celebrating that. But the scripture tells us the unleavened bread, you will keep it for 7 days and you will eat it at the appointed time. It's interesting, you know, that they celebrated the first Moed in Egypt. It wasn't celebrated in Israel. It was celebrated in Egypt. And, you know, and the offering shall be none remain. It shouldn't, that God said you will slay it, and you will take the blood and you will sprinkle it, and you will actually cast it upon the door and upon the door frame and upon the lintel, and it says you will toss it. They just thought, you just don't little dab it up there. He says you will toss the, you will hit it with hyssop, and you will strike, and it will spread as it goes, just like Yeshua's wounds were spread as he was beaten with the cat of nine tails. His blood was spread everywhere, and God says you will strike that lintel, and you will cast, and you will throw it upon that door, and you will eat the Passover lamb with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and you will consume it all. Nothing was to be left. If you had too much, you would invite other people to come in, And then he says that way, when the angel of death, when God comes, he will see the blood upon the door. And that means that you are safe from the death angel. Everyone in all of Egypt, except in the land of Goshen, there was great pain and agony because the firstborn all were slain that night of the Passover. They all died. And it's very, you know, it's interesting to note Pharaoh was a first son, but God spared his life because Pharaoh was shown the mighty power of God. And, you know, he was slain once they reached the Red Sea and his chariots dashed into the water. And I've told you about them finding some of the remnants of the gold chariots are still there because salt and gold, it doesn't corrode it. And I looked that up to check on that, but they have found pieces of the gold chariots there off the coast there that are still there. But the government has blocked them from doing any more excavations and archaeological studies there, but it's still there to prove that the Pharaoh and his chariots did go into the Red Sea and they were all drowned. But God wanted Pharaoh to see how mighty and powerful God was, that all those over 1 million people went across the Red Sea and they crossed on dry land. They didn't go through a muddy marsh that if you suck some of the lake out here, you're going to find a lot of mud and murk in there. But they went across on dry land. That's the way God worked it. You know, Passover is the festival of liberation. It celebrates an historical event, but the exodus of the Jewish people from Israel. But it also celebrates our redemption, because without the Lamb of God being sacrificed, we would still be lost today. Without the blood of the Lamb, there is no remission of sin. You can't earn your way. Years ago, I used to work with this lady, and she always said, "Well, you don't have to really believe, because she said if you do good things, then God will let you get into heaven." I always told her, I said, "You can't. It's not by works, because if it was by works, these people that are billionaires and trillionaires, well, they would be the only ones to get to heaven, because they can buy anything and sell or do whatever they want to. But it's not by our works. If you are a believer, you will do good works. You will help people, pray for the sick, help those that are in need. But it doesn't save you. Works don't save you. It's for the blood of the Lamb. That's why we're all equal, is because through the blood, it's not through what we gain here in life that makes us saved. It's through the blood of the Lamb. It's not by our greatness, nor what type of job you've got, or how much your 401k is, or the type of home, the neighborhood you live in. Those are just things that will pass away. They're not going to be, you know, no one's died that I've ever been to that they've taken a U-Haul with them. I've heard stories of people being buried in their cars and stuff like that, but they didn't take it to heaven. It corrodes in the dirt, in the grave. It's gone, because it's only through the blood of the Lamb that you will go to heaven, and you will not be stay here on the earth. You see, Passover is the shadow of redemption. As the Israelites were redeemed, it's a shadow of a greater event, an ultimate redemption through Yeshua's death. That's where God was getting us to. Without the death of his son, there would be, again, no redemption whatsoever. And it's always observed. One of the interesting things about the Passover, it's always observed the same month and the same day. It's interesting. They say, well, how can that be? Because, well, in the leap year, we add a whole month to the Hebrew calendar. So that's why God said it will always. God put the Moeds out there, and he says they will be the same time every year. That's what God instructs us to do. The Jewish things go in a circle. Christianity goes in a straight line. That's why Easter is, this year it's in April. I don't know about next year, but it switches from April to March because of the spring equinox. And that's the day that there's an equal amount of daylight and sunlight. And it's a little complicated, but I won't try to explain it. But it's Easter changes with the equinox, the night of the equinox. And so Yeshua is celebrated in the month of Nisan. It's always the same day It's always the 14th. And I think it was interesting on the holiday that they observe is called Palm Sunday. And it's actually, if you read that scripture, it was that was the 10th of Nisan, and that was the day that the lamb was chosen that was the lamb that you selected and chose to be the sacrifice, is what occurred on Palm Sunday. That's why he rode into Jerusalem, and that was the acceptance, was the palm branches in the shouts of Hosanna. That was telling God, this is the lamb that's riding on the donkey that was written about in the book of Isaiah. It's all very scriptural, and I encourage you to read it. It's quite interesting to read that and see how it follows. God never deviates from his word. It's always the same, and it never changes. You see, Yeshua, like I said, it's celebrated around the world on Good Friday. Business is closed. Companies are closed. Banks are closed. Things. But it's not, Good Friday's not mentioned in the scriptures. Nowhere is there a mention of a Good Friday. So it's very interesting. Nothing about the crucifixion as far as a Good Friday, but it's celebrated. You know, Yeshua died around the ninth hour on Passover, and you can read that in Matthew chapter 27 and Mark 15 and Luke 23. All tell us about his death upon the executioner's stake. Yeshua in Matthew 12, and it goes from verses 38 through 40, we see that he speaks about Jonah, and I read that again last night, chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. It's very interesting because the prayer of Jonah, he was in the belly, and a lot of people say, well, it was a whale, but that's not what God said. A whale is a mammal. I had to look that up because I always catch people and I say, was it a whale? Or they, yeah, it was a whale, but a whale is a mammal. God said it's a fish. A whale ain't a fish because they nurse their young and they give birth, like, sort of like a human, like a woman, I guess. But it's a fish that God created, or it was already in the water. Anyway, it swallowed Jonah, and he said, you know, he cries out to God in the belly of the whale. Read that in chapter 2. It's very interesting. His prayer is Yeshua's prayer. It's very interesting that the two are very parallel of what they're saying. And he was in there for 3 days and 3 nights. He was in the heart of the whale, just like Yeshua was in the heart of the earth. He wasn't in there 2 days and so many hours. It says 3 days and 3 nights. I haven't been able to mathematically figure out if he was executed, or if he was crucified on Friday, how we get to Sunday. That is 3 days and 3 nights. I'm not a mathematician, but my math don't count that way, that's actually, it's 3 days, but it's not 3 days and 3 nights. Again, God's word must stay just like it is. You can't change it or alter it to make it fit some type of situation that you're in, because God's word cannot, it's a curse to alter his word or to change it. But he spoke every time, he spoke several times about the sign. And in Matthew 12, 38 through 40, we see the scribes and the Pharisees, they ask him, they said, what is the sign? What's the sign that of the Messiah? What's that going to be? And what did Yeshua say? He says, you've already been given the sign, just like we've been given the sign. He says, you've been given the sign, and it was from the prophet Jonah. 3 days and 3 nights. And he spoke a lot about what his heavenly Father was going to do, because, you know, when he died, he was cast down from the sin, all that sin on him, and he was cast down just like Jonah into the belly of the big fish. But God brought him up out of hell and out of the grave, and that's why he was victorious. You know, if he had just died and never rose from the dead, our redemption would not have been complete, because it took not only his death, but it took his resurrection. And his resurrection, if you count Passover, he would have rose, probably most likely, he would have rose on a Sunday night, Saturday night, which would have been the end of Passover, and it would have been the eighth day, as the new day would have began on Sunday. He would have came out of the grave on Saturday night, which was the end of the first fruits. And he brought him up out of there. And by him leaving the grave, then our body would not see corruption. Because without his resurrection, when you died, you might have believed, but you would have been left in the grave. But I think his death and his bodily resurrection gives us that we will not only live, but our bodies, we will have a new body, and it will never see corruption in this life. So you see, salvation was proven by the Heavenly Father when he raised Yeshua from the dead and brought him back to life. And he was seen by many people for many days before he ascended back to heaven. You see, Yeshua, the earth pushed Yeshua into the grave, but God glorified him when he brought him out of the grave. And I think the book of Jonah is a book that tells us a lot about the coming messianic age that's going to come, that God is going to complete that. Because we see with Yeshua, he speaks many times about the 3 days. He talks about in John 2, he says, destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up. Matthew chapter 27, he says, after 3 days I will rise again from the grave. Matthew 14, it says, destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another temple that is not made with hands. That's by the hands of God. Matthew 8, he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things, rejected of the elders, chief priests, scribes, killed, and after 3 days he will rise again. So the sign, so Jonah is the sign that was given, and it's the prophecy of the 72 hours, which is one of the mysteries. The other mystery is the matzah that is broken. It's taken from the matzah tosh, and the second loaf is taken and broken, and one part of the loaf is put back, and the broken piece is wrapped in white linen, and it's taken and hidden. What's the purpose of hiding it? Well, when Yeshua was crucified, his body, he was wrapped in linen, and he was buried. He was placed in a barred tomb. A lot of people say, why did they bury a tomb? Well, he didn't need it very long. He wasn't going to stay there the rest of his life. He was not going to be there because he only needed just for a short period of time. And so that's why it's hidden. But the satyr takes, the leader of the satyr takes the bread and he hides it. And usually, he'll hide it in the same place each year. And after the meal, the children are called. And it's important. Why would you bring children to seek the matzah, the afikoman? What means that which comes after. But the children are called to seek the treasure, the hidden matzah. And when they find it, they receive a reward. Usually something, cash, something like that. They get a reward. But what is the purpose of finding it and having the children look for it and get a reward? It's sort of like hide and seek, I guess, in a way you could say, with the children. But it's, you know, body. His body was wrapped, as I said. You know, and with this, there's many mysteries about that, but it's found. And Yeshua, I think he says it very well in his verse in the chapters in Matthew chapter 18. It says, Yeshua said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the kingdom of heaven. That's the matzah that's found. It was the great prize, the pearl of great price. And why is the little children? Because little children are very open to things that you tell them. They're very receptive. And that's why he says, let the little children, suffer them to come unto me. You have to become a believer. I think you have to become childlike in your faith that he died for you and his blood was shed for you and his body was beaten for you and broken for you, but not his bones were not broken. That's the purpose of the hidden matzah, for the children to come. It's not based on intellect or intelligence. It's not based on any religious ritual or even our human wisdom. It's just based on childlike faith that you must have to believe and accept Yeshua as the Son of God. But as a child, we accept him. We accept his word, his promise, and belief that we trust in him and his saving power from us. And just to close this morning, you know, I think this sort of sums it up, because he lives, we can live also, and we live tomorrow, because the day is coming when we will all be called to heaven if we're believers. And those who do not believe and who think they don't have to believe, they can get in some other way, you can't sneak into heaven and there's no way to get in there except through the blood of the Lamb. So that is the that's the Torah portion and the message this morning about a little different about the Passover and the things, but we're going to be celebrating it here at the end of April, I believe, and Diane's already mentioned that. So we're going to I've got a basket, so after I give the Kohen blessing, if you all can bring your offerings and bless our family here today that's come not too awful far, but they come a lot. Ted comes a lot. Now he's got his wife with him, so I'm sure he doesn't travel far without her. He's smiling, so I'm sure he don't. And she's very talented, as we can see. So she's added such a tremendous amount to his ministry, not only the music, but with the prayers and the artistry is really fantastic. So if you'll arise, we will, and we've got Oneg today. If you want to stay for that, it'll be done. It'll take just a little while to get it ready, but if you can stay. And the Lord told Moshe, he said, this is the way, this is how you'll address Aaron, and you tell him, this is how I want you to bless my people when they come before me. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yo Adonai panaveleka vikunika, Isa Adonai panaveleka v'yasimleka shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua, our coming King and Messiah, shalom. And have a blessed day in Sink and Samek. I'm sorry.
Hey, and let's take up an offering, too, for Ted.
No, we're going to take the offering up. Yep.
Yes.
No, we've got the basket over here.
Hallelujah.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played.